This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Butt update. Scott's got an ass rash. And what did you take away from it? I felt like outside looking in, I'm not suffering from it. You are. That there was a real like sense of community that formed around your ass.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're a show that just shares, right? We kind of share because that ingratiates us.
Josh Spiegel's horrible childhood memories.
Yeah, everybody has those.
Threats of death and my
right. And it just kind of ingratiates you to listeners. It makes, you know, makes you human and makes you realize that, look, no matter what you're discussing, there's always somebody out there that has gone through it or is going through it or knows something about it. But I would have imagined talking about some sort of ass-chafing rash type thing. How many people came out of the woodwork? It was insane. All of the suggestions for products. This person has had this. I've worked, you know, I'm blue collar. I work 14-hour days. I get home, my ass is raw. And
ooh,
use this, ugh. Use that. It was crazy. I felt, I didn't feel alone in that
you
moment.
You felt more normalized when you were suggested to use Monistat Chafing Relief Powder Gel, preventing relief from chafing and irritation. You know, I think Monistat, I think, you know, lady.
Yeah,
that's, lady
that seems a little feminine based for me. I may go with something different.
Call a bit too much guacamole on the chip. But yeah, I guess Monistat makes something for you.
Maybe go a little utterly smooth.
Oh, yeah. Well, hear about it coming up. Scott and many of you have ass issues from running on Behind the Curtain.
Just Scott Spiegel, PennyRock90Online.com.
Yeah, and I guess I should just fire it off.
Man, I can't keep doing this.
Let's do it.
It's an ass update.
We'll get a talking to.
Although maybe he can help, because our boss Rick is a runner.
Running Rick.
And I'm just dabbling in the world. I don't know what will become of it.
You've been doing it very consistently for years now. Yes, the seasons may change and prevent you from winter to summer, but you've been running using Map My Run, Charm City Run, and getting ready for the 5.7K for quite some time, but an issue has arisen.
Yeah, there's been a few issues. My back hurts. That's my own fault.
I haven't tripping over your penis.
Been tripping over my penis. And now it's my butt. And this is like, I think you were out. When did this happen?
Ow! No.
Because I feel like I talked about this once before, where I thought it was like kind of like a rash.
Uh-huh.
Just due to like, Mike, get in here.
It's like chafing?
Well, I didn't think it was chafing, but now I think like between my ass cheeks, where there's enough connection to cause some friction, my ass cheeks close to the crack are now just chafing, and it is painful as all hell. I mean, I didn't even do anything yesterday. I went for like this short little run, just kind of very casual, and then I get in my car and I'm like, that kind of hurts.
Ow.
And then when it really hurt, I got into the shower.
Oh.
And then
the hot water hits it. Yes!
Ow! Ow! Why does it burn?
And I was like, I know about like the inner thigh chafe, right? I think everybody knows about that.
Don't wear corduroys. You're going to start a fire.
You kind of experienced the inner thigh rash, but I've never experienced the inner cheek rash or a chafe.
So this is cheek.
Well, what goes on here?
This is cheek not opening. This is cheek. This is skin to skin.
Yeah,
this ain't,
like that. No,
this ain't the sheriff's badge.
It's not the the rusty nickel.
Not the penny. Mm. The devil's calamari. Mike Anderson.
Yeah.
Did you want to?
I don't want to, but I guess I will.
Nurse Anderson.
Because I did the mirror thing yesterday, where you stick your head between your legs and you look into the mirror and you see what you can see.
Try and survey the damage.
I just want to see if you can give me like some sort of.
Oh,
intel
no.
on what it looks like. Now, last night I put on diaper rash cream to try and like form a
protective barrier.
Yes, some sort of protective barrier.
Does Desitin help?
Isn't that like diaper rash cream?
Desitin maximum strength. Oh God! Quick side note about Desitin. My father goes and gets us Desitin once. He gets us Desitin in like a gift basket for Evan when he's a baby. And he gets us diapers, and he gets us a onesie, and he gets us a binky, and he gets us Desitin. He's like, you could use this for diaper rash. And he looks at Lindsay, leans in, and he's like, it also helps when you get older, too. And some stuff starts to rub together.
See?
And
yes.
Like, oh, Dad.
That's what I'm experiencing.
Look, you just met the girl I accidentally got pregnant. Don't talk about your gross balls.
So they do make stuff called Body Glide, but I was on this blog because I started Googling it. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Ugh.
And one woman recommends Vaseline. She says she puts it between her ass cheeks to cut down on the friction, but then she also uses Vaseline on my feet, my toes, and around my bra line.
I can only imagine. You get the underwire thing. I've had multiple girlfriends and coworkers and stuff. I think Mary Ann was even talking about this one day. You get the bra rub right there when
this is awful.
It hits the yum yums. Mike, it's time to take a knee.
And somebody's suggesting that you use a tampon.
What?
Between my butt cheeks?
Like what?
Well, now that's for like swamp ass, right? This is more of a friction
internally.
Thing.
I can't get into the specifics
internally,
but you should. It's called a muffler.
Yes,
it's called a muffler. And the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, used a muffler
for what?
Because his flatulence and I believe his IBS was so bad that in the middle of a match, if you slammed him too hard, he would his pants. And he took a wad of paper towels and basically recorked the wine bottle, and it called it a muffler, and it occasionally would pop out.
No!
All over the ring. I don't think Scott needs that, but I would say a protective layer.
Mike, get down there and look. Somebody says sometimes the wrong underwear can cause that between the cheeks. One day last summer, I worked outside for 14 hours in 100-degree heat. I had the wrong underwear on, and I was rubbed raw. I'm a grown-ass man. I literally got home and was left in tears.
You're a gross-ass man.
I literally called out to work the next day.
Oh, I mean, Evan's had diaper rash. First time I've ever seen diaper rash, and it's bad, man. It looks like he sat down on a hot plate. It broke my heart.
Yeah? Oh,
it
dude, it's
broke
bad.
My
Get
heart.
Bad.
He cries, and I can't. Like, I usually will clean him off with a wipe. A couple of wipes, make sure the area is nice and sterile, put a fresh diaper back on, put his pants back on. And he couldn't even handle just a soft aloe wipe. He'd scream. Oh, heartbroke.
Everyone's saying, like, you got to lube up the inside of your ass cheeks with Vaseline. I didn't sign up for this. I just wanted to run a little bit.
He's just trying to get himself in shape.
Just wanted to run a little bit.
Just trying.
Now I'm lubing my whole body with Vaseline. What the hell is this?
God, Buck and I were sending each other pictures yesterday of Evan. That's a picture of this poor kid. Passed out from the pain of a diaper rash. He's laying, Mike, look at that. He's laying face down on her with his big, long 17-inch ass crack.
Crack right. is so
Mike,
long.
I'm just going to come over and just.
It's time!
Just get a little peek.
I mean, you can stay in there. The live wire cameras are facing this way, so we're good.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Okay, just glance in here.
Get a look.
Can you see?
Oh, God, that's a lot of hair.
Oh, stop.
It's like a mohawk going down your...
Shut up, I'm a man!
Scott's butt rock.
Somebody else has said I need to trim my hair. Can
Scott's
you see?
Butt is punk.
Well, I will say it's not... It doesn't look red or raw. It just looks really... That might be the problem. Maybe there's so much hair that it's just causing friction.
Is that hairy? Is that hairy?
It's... Justin, look. So bad.
Oh, man. Yeah.
How do women have sex with us?
We are so gross. And Mike's not wrong, though. I don't see a lot of irritation, but I do see a...
Oh!
It blew us a kiss.
God.
Oh, yeah. It might be a hair thing, man. Oh, my God. Oh. Scott's part Sasquatch. Scott's a Yeti. He is a Yeti. That is a man's worth of hair.
For a moment.
That is a man's ass. That is a man's ass.
What happened?
There's so much hair.
What happened?
It's like a shot of adrenaline.
What happened?
I saw everything. Everything.
Like practically inside
what
out.
What is it? Why I need your help? What's going on here?
I saw the event horizon.
I don't want to use the G word, but it was on the verge of that.
What is G?
You know, in porn, when they're doing the
platter. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Huh? When it does that. When it does this?
No, but did you see any irritation? I'm looking for irritation.
I didn't see any.
This is clinical.
I didn't see any. No.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. I've done that to myself in the mirror, and I'm way worse looking than you are.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like it's already a little bit better.
I look like I got like a bullet wound back there compared to you.
All right, Mike, now look at mine.
Jesus
Christ. What a different butt that is. All right, Mike, how's that? How's that?
We're dealing with more redness.
He's got more redness?
Yeah, yeah. Mine is in a permanent state of itching. I am in a permanent state of irritation.
God,
we always make fun of monkeys
probably
for their
from
asses.
Overuse.
We got no room to talk.
No, we don't. Monkeys' asses. We can't make fun of a baboon's ass when ours just looks so disastrous. We're getting people saying to use A and D ointment.
This is so... You gotta, like, lube up your whole freaking body. This is... No one told me any of this.
You gotta cream your whole body.
I had to cream my ass before I went running.
Yeah, you gotta start creaming your ass. Yes. Ooh, Josh Spiegel, you were preparing another award-winning newscast earlier, and thank God you missed it.
It's an ass update!
Yeah, Scott has a backside issue that as you were handcrafting your news, we made Mike get eyes on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Saw everything.
It was just everything.
Can you pull your the audio of just your reaction? When you have to do it right now, but just eventually.
Please. Yeah.
I originally... Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, yeah, we'll have that up on the website later.
What I originally thought was some sort of... rash, like down back there, due to whatever, you know, maybe some moisture and discomfort. And now I've sleuthed out that it's chafing between the butt cheeks.
You got one humdinger of a UTI.
Because I've had chafing on the thighs, which is, I think everybody's had that at one point in their life. But this is like betwixt the cheeks, and I never realized.
Yeah.
And it's painful.
You got an SOS pad back there. You have my beard on your ass. I got to look back there, and it is.
But no, somebody said don't mess with the hair. It'll make it worse. The hair actually like helps with that.
Oh, no, don't shave.
Yeah, well, so Mike said I should shave. People came out of the woodwork like, don't do that.
No, do not
Maybe
shave.
Maybe just trim it with some scissors.
No, it's good. That's why you need it.
What you need to use is the new 2-in-1 Pert Plus Strengthening Shampoo and Conditioner.
But Pert Plus, that's who my ass.
It's the official butt shampoo of the 98 Rock Morning Show.
But no, we talked about this earlier, 5:30-ish, right before 6 o'clock news. And it blew up. Like, I almost feel better about myself because knowing that I'm not the only one who suffers from this.
That you're not dirty or gross.
I couldn't believe, look at this, the phones are slammed, 410-338-1098, texts are flying in.
It's constantly. Like,
I didn't know what was happening because I've never experienced this. I've been running longer and longer and longer and... You know, when you're out there and the longer you're out there, you know, if you're out there for an hour and a half running, the amount of friction is just incredible.
What's the first time that you noticed as you ran, you were thinking to yourself, this doesn't feel like...
Like last week, I think
soreness.
I brought this up.
I feel sting. I feel pain.
Yeah, I brought this up, I think, maybe last week. I think it says the length of the runs has increased. Now I'm facing issues, which I didn't know existed, which
That's right,
I'm not very
like
happy about.
9 and 10 miles now. Yeah. You were running like 3, 4, 5, and then you moved.
You build up.
You're building up and you're building up. Okay, now with that said, think about all this. This is 9 miles. You're about to run a half marathon, a full marathon. Can you imagine that? What your body is going to go through after 23 miles?
26
miles.
Look. I'm not any kind of superstar athlete. I'm not claiming to be. I'm not bragging here.
I want to see Rick's ass.
13 miles is like enough. I can't even comprehend doubling that and doing 26. What the hell goes on?
If you told me I had to either run 13 miles slurp a tablespoon of our toilet water, hand me a spoon. I'm not doing it.
What kind of chafing goes on there? You go to the Charm City Run, they've got nip guards so your nipples don't get raw. They got body glide to slather your ass cheeks and your thighs up with. It's like, Jesus.
It's so creamy. You have to slather your whole baby up.
It's insane.
Evan's got a little bit of rosacea and some, what's the skin stuff?
Eczema.
Eczema, yes. He's got eczema. So we got to cream him up. I have the creamiest, smoothest, slipperiest baby. He's so hard to grab a hold of. Because every night, he's got patches behind his legs. He's got some stuff behind his ear. Kind of where the joints are. He's got his big, fat, meaty, porky joints. So we got to cream them up. And I'm thinking we might need to do the same for you. We have some suggestions. Wayne in Bel Air has been holding for a little bit. Wayne, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I had the same thing about 20, 25 years ago. And it bothered me so bad, I couldn't see back there, so I showed my friends, and they all said I was going to die. I had a rash coming out both sides of my crack. It looked like a map of Upper State New York.
So what'd you do?
Tenactin. It's a spray. It's no cream or nothing. You spray it, and steam comes off your ass.
Oh,
and
yeah, but that's...
It'll be gone in a few days, and it won't. It's jock itch.
Isn't jock itch. This is chafing.
Yeah,
it happens. So jock itch is after like a while. It like the bacteria sits and it starts to.
Uh-huh.
Like Mike, you just had that.
Yeah,
and you sprayed that stuff. This happened like just last night. Like over the course of an hour, I get home and I get in the shower. I'm like, the hot water hit it, and I went, whoa!
Oh God!
And it was just the rubbing. I think it was just from the rubbing.
And I was just thinking, it's bad for you who has a normal-sized male ass, but imagine being like one of these women that have beach-ball-sized cheeks.
Yeah.
Imagine being that size and running.
Imagine being like a Tony Protococcus with those two large medicine ball butt cheeks bouncing back and forth with the contact.
A texter says, Scott, get a thong. Get a thong and wrap a tampon around... the string. Yeah. You wrap the tampon string around the thong string.
Keep going.
Separate the cheeks. Oh. And then he writes, I do it all the time.
Oh, okay, so he's not...
He or she wears a thong and then wraps the string around and then tucks it between the cheeks. That is... What?
That's involved. That's involved.
That's the way to tame this monster hole.
All right.
They got a stuff called bag balm. Farmers use it on cow udders to prevent chafing. It also helps soothe sore areas. Bag balm.
Here's a classic solution from John in Pasadena. John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is an honor to be talking to you gentlemen this morning.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, John, and it always is.
Thank you very much. There's a product that you can get out of Walmart or even Ace Hardware. It's called Anti-Monkey Butt.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great topical powder. You don't have to, you know, be liberal with it. Be a little conservative with it, just a little dusting. But the cure is you got to get it dry first.
Right.
So I would highly recommend soaking in Dr. Teal's oatmeal and Epsom salt bath to soothe that irritation.
Wow.
Gotcha.
You seem like a man that speaks from experience.
I've had some serious crotch rot in my life because I run a lot, too.
Oh, God. Wait, the front?
Oh, the back. Oh, I just call it crotch rot, period.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You freaked me out there for a little bit. I thought you might have a little bacteria on your dipstick. Mike, quick question while you wrap that call. I put them on hold. Is Zeus in today?
No, he's not.
Damn it. All right. I was going to have him. Scott has to dry out. Scott has to keep his butt cheeks open all day.
Oh, you're going to have him fan?
No, I was just going to have Zeus just basically hold his butt open.
Blow on
for
it?
For the next 4 hours. I wouldn't say blow on it. I'm not trying to abuse the young man.
And he calls all of us, sir. Does that feel good, sir?
Does that feel good, sir?
Does that feel good, sir?
Keep blowing, young man. Blow on your boss's ass. Let's go to who else has been holding. Okay, Joey. Seems he's got a legitimate answer here for us. Joey, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, what's up, guys? I did a couple stints in the joint, and I used to work out all day long. We'd do, like, leg workouts with weights, and then we go run 4 or 5 miles. And I tried to, like...
Don't curse. The minute you got... Listen
Stop
to me.
It.
I know all you guys, and I love you, but the second you got on the phone, I put my finger right on the dump button, because I could hear it in your voice.
Got that prison talk.
No. Talcum powder, man. I just tried, like, what I had, and it would just make it worse. Everything Ooh. Would... I mean, it would ignite, because it's... You got to use the right thing. So finally, when I got out, I continued working out. I just used Destin.
Yep.
It's designed for babies. Babies are real, you know, tender. And so
I believe Josh might have a question for you.
While in prison, did you ever hear the screams of men at night?
Nah, not in the jails I was at. Maybe during the day if somebody was getting like chopped up or something. But,
what?
Chopped up? Like there's a butcher's case in there? Chopped up?
Like
what were you in for?
Tanks.
What were you in for?
I went in 3 different times. I was had a robbery, forgery charges, and then simple possession charge.
Oh, God, you're a thug, man.
Thank you so much for listening to the program, and may we never run into you in person.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel behind the curtain. Justin is not here at the moment. He's in the bathroom giving birth. Coming up, you'll hear a break that we kind of gave it a shot. You know, look, hey, you got to try new things here. And I don't know if this person will be a recurring character or not. We call him I-83. He comes to all of our live events. I love the guy. He obviously has a little something going on. I don't know what it is. He's made it 42 years in life, and he's a sweetheart of a guy. He wanted to come to the JSS prom. I said, let's give him a call. Maybe it'll be funny. We can have some fun with him. We're not making fun of him. We love him. We're just having fun with him. And first ever radio appearance, first ever phone call.
Oh, and he loved it too. God, he couldn't wait to get on.
That's what I mean. I'm thinking once he starts to get a little more comfortable, this might pay more and more dividends.
And Justin's not here right now. We should say
he had some opposition. He
wasn't completely on board with the idea.
I'm not sure I am yet, but look, you got to try new things, right? How do you know unless you try?
But he's not here. I think we should ambush him one day, and I'll just invite I-83, Ryan, up to the studio unbeknownst to Justin and have him hang out all morning.
I'm fine with that. Rate the phone call on a 1 to 10.
I'll give it a 7.8.
Yeah, that was like a 6 or a 7. It was a pretty decent segment. And the guy, he's a character, man. He's got, there's something there, but it's just a matter of tapping into it and, you know, making it work, but... Coming up, here it is. We called I-83, a.k.a. Ryan, and talked to him about getting tickets to the Justin Scott and Spiegel prom, which is sold out, by the way. Sold out. And yeah, he's a super fan. He always comes to all of our events. Damn Skippy.
Damn Skippy. Right. Good guy.
Damn Skippy.
This guy knows what we're doing. He knows where we're at before we know where we're going to be at.
And he comes and he hangs out and he... approached me at Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue so pumped for the JSS prom, and I literally did not have the heart to tell him that it was sold out.
Damn it.
And then he got a hold of Amelia, and she told him, and I was like, ah, man. I'm like, look, man.
We want to get you in because you come to all of our stuff. You're such a positive, supportive guy. We need you there.
And I was like, maybe there's something we can do. So I figured we'd start with a phone call. He wanted to come in studio. Damn, did he want to come in studio.
Damn, did he want to come in studio.
Full court pressed me at Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue. He's like, you know, I thought maybe the first time be in studio. You know, let's get in studio.
Like, I should come up.
Let me get me in
studio.
Like, I should
come up. Like, I should come up.
I don't think I should be on the phone. Let's go studio.
Like, I'm coming up.
And then yesterday on the phone, he was trying to, he worked the angle, man. But we were like, let's start with a phone call. His name is Ryan. We like to refer to him as I-83. He is... Jared Johnson's brother from another mother. Good morning, I-83.
Morning, buddy.
Good morning.
How you doing, my man? I-83, joining us on the phone here. You've been a longtime friend, supporter of the show. You're always out at our events, hanging out, excited. And how long have you been listening to the show? Since the beginning?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long, because when a station first existed, I was just being brought into the world. So, yeah, I've been around as long as the station's been around, 41 years now. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
41 years.
41 years old.
Now, the JSS prom is sold out, I-83. You know that, right?
I'm totally well aware of that. Correct.
But I want to get you in there, man. I love you. Every time we hang out, we have a good time.
Scott's the great conversations. Biggest fans of you, man. He sings your praises.
I don't know. Just why do you want to go to the prom so bad? What is it about the prom?
Because it would bring back memories to when I was at my high school prom 21 years ago in 1997 when I graduated from my school. And plus, you know, since I happen to be, you know, a big fan, you know, of the station and you guys especially.
Yeah.
You know.
Who isn't?
I figured that since your first ever one ever being, I figured, you know, it's very important, you know, that I make an appearance to be there for it. And sure enough, you guys are making it happen for me, and
we
appreciate it very much.
Easy.
Indeed, I appreciate it a lot.
Well, we're figuring it out.
We haven't officially said we can get you in. We're trying to work some angles here. It's a very tough ticket to get. There's capacity issues we're dealing with. Now, you went, like you said, 1997. You went to your prom. Take us back to that. What was that like?
It was a good one. It was a very memorable one, I have to admit to say.
Okay.
And it was a girl, you know, that I used to date 3.5 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we dated.
Okay.
But the prom night, was magical? Was it magical?
My prom night was so very precious, magical, because
that's nice.
On top of it all,
yeah,
I was able to be the prom of my. I was able to be the king of my prom.
Oh, my God.
No way. Were you really?
Were you prom king?
You prom king?
Absolutely. I was.
I knew it.
Prom king, I was king of my prom where Yale. It was a very accomplishment achievement.
I knew it.
A man about town. Now, as to Scott's point earlier, this thing is sold out. It's at capacity. There's fire marshal issues. There's seating issues and stuff like that. But we're trying to work some angles. Would you be willing to be there in maybe like an employee capacity where we have you like maybe like do some stuff? Mike, we were coming up with some ideas yesterday about, you know, maybe we have to, you know, kind of put them to work.
You good at taking photos? Yeah. I-83?
Can you be a photographer maybe?
Sure. I wouldn't mind experiencing it, and, you know, for the first time and see how it goes. Indeed, I'm on with it. I'm for it all.
I wanted you to man the carving station.
I don't want him having a knife.
I want you to have the biggest knife and to be near the carving station. That's what I wanted. But
are
I was
having a carving station.
I was vetoed on the carving station. There was people talking about maybe you being a valet parker. There was people talking about maybe you tending bar, maybe being a host that evening as you walk someone over to their seat.
You'd be good at that.
Yes, like you announce people. Mr. and Mrs. Asian Megan have arrived. May I show you to their seats? Would you be willing to maybe, as I said, work in an employee capacity?
I'm willing to do anything and everything that you're able to order me to do. I'm in on it all.
We got you
all
brother.
The way.
We got you. We're gonna figure this out, Mike.
And a lot of times, events like these have like bathroom attendants.
No, quick. No, he's not staying in the bathroom.
I'm just throwing out ideas.
Stop.
No, this guy's above that. Not having him hand out Andy's candies next to the crapper.
You know, we met your parents right there. Damn, Skippy, we did right there at the Ravens Beach Bash.
Your mom is so sweet. She is such a
good
nice
people.
Lady.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that compliment so very much, a lot from you guys. And Yale, they were so happy to meet you at Beach Bash last year, too, as well. Where Yale, what an achievement, chapter accomplishment it was, just as well for them. Absolutely.
Well put.
You going to be at Beach Bash again this year, I-83? I'm talking to, what do we call him, Superfan?
Yeah, he's a super
friend of the
friend.
Show. Super friend. I-83?
Yeah, yeah. I-83.
You
going to
be at Beach Bash again this year?
Of course I'm going to absolutely be there again this year. I wouldn't miss it for the world. It's
My guy.
It's the best, enjoyable, most funnest time event
killer.
To be at.
It's killer.
Every year,
it's
you know,
killer,
with 98 Rock, where it's 98 Rock's best event every year.
Let me ask you another question. One more question before we go. If we get you to this prom, right? If we get you in here, I'd love to have you. It's going to be a good old time. It is sold out.
We just got a message.
If two tickets free up, is there a possibility of a date for I-83? Would you be bringing anybody? Or you want to go solo?
Well, I played the field with the women, so...
You're playing the field right now.
Yeah, baby.
So because I've played the field with women and I got, you know, quite a few women in my life right now,
yeah.
It would be hard to choose one to take with me to it,
yeah,
for real.
Baby, lay that lumber. Huh? Oh, boy. Plumbers don't put down as much pipe as I-83. We got a message.
Nope, not ever.
We got a message, I-83, from Scott. You will remember this woman from a week ago that you made a request when she showed us her Justin and Scott and Spiegel and Mike t-shirt, and you had a laugh and said, hey, take a picture of you in the car without it on. And by God, she did. And she has just emailed us saying, I would like to bring I-83 prom.
No pressure, but we might have a date lined up for you.
She is right there. Remember that young lass? And I-83, she is kick out of bed for eating crackers, buddy. Maybe we set you up with our friend Amanda?
Hey. If she's hot and gorgeous looking, damn right, Skippy, I'm going to go with that pattern and definitely get myself hooked up with her. Sure, why not? It's definitely worth it. Absolutely,
total
indeed.
Total skank. All right. And thank you so much.
And I'm telling you, you guys really picked this at the perfect time that you did, because 9 days after it, it's my birthday, and I'm going to be 42 years old.
My God. Oh, happy early birthday.
Look at this. See, it's all aligning. I knew this was right.
How worried were you that he was going to say something about his dying or something? I was so freaked out. Well, good. Hey, we're going to make some arrangements. It's nothing promised yet, but we're going to make some stuff behind the scenes. We'll stay in touch with you,
we'll
okay,
touch,
I-83?
Right, buddy.
Texas. So this is definitely going to be an early birthday treat for me, regardless, no matter what, since it's up 9 days before my birthday.
Definitely
indeed. And 20
not a,
days.
Not a positive.
And 20
thing.
Days before the beach bash.
Boy, you are hell bent on
nine
things.
9 days before the birthday, 20 days before the beach bash.
Copy that. Is good with math. We're going to put you on hold. Mike's going to get all your particulars, and we will maybe see you at the prom.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Gary Goldman's going to be in Magoobies tonight. Stopped by yesterday. Tall gentleman, Jewish gentleman, and you know he's a good looking dude. He's got a hell of an act. Go see him tonight. And I liked having him up here. And he played us a compliment. He paid us a compliment. It was very nice. That he's a pretty well respected comic. You'll hear coming up. He said if I lived around here, I'd be up here bugging you guys all the time. That was really a very sweet compliment.
Very complimentary. It meant a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't mean anything.
It meant nothing.
No, it was cool. No. I really like those. I've had, we've had a few of those where somebody you're not expecting is like, hey, man, this show's like, Rob Stapleton, mm-hmm. who was in here earlier. I don't know if you heard it, but he's like, hey, man, I heard really good things about you guys from all the other comics. And he's like, it's really cool to be here, and I've heard good things, and this show's really good. And I was like, I don't know who he rolls with, but I guess like some of the other guys that, do the circuit. Word's getting out.
Word's spreading. I want to hear from someone who talked to a comic that was like, screw them. Do not go up there. Schlesingers of the world aside. Someone that we thought we had a good rapport with and they left like, ugh, God, what a bunch of a-holes. And Johnny Fart Button over there couldn't keep his finger off the stink trigger.
Well, it wasn't terrible, but I've heard Rich Voss make some comments after coming on here before.
That's Rich, Mike's, though.
But I'm not saying it was,
Rich
it's Rich's
his
M.O.
His act is mother effing everybody and everything. So it's
right.
Like, that's what he does.
Yeah. That's not real.
I take it personally.
What'd he say?
Oh, it was when we were, remember he came out to our broadcast in Phoenix during the Super Bowl when we were out at Cooper's.
Oh my God, that was the first year of the show.
But
when Josh got hit in the head with a football.
He was just complaining about having to do it.
Oh, right.
I guess he just didn't feel like, hanging out in the bar.
That's Rich. That's his brand.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his bits.
I took it personally.
Gary Goldman, he was very complimentary. And you'll hear about it coming up on Behind the Curtain.
In studio, Gary Goldman going to be at Magoobies Joke House. Tonight, tomorrow night. Good morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man.
It's good to see you.
Do you have children?
No.
Thank God.
No, I don't have any children.
Because you like to wake up when you want, spend your money on what you want. Your life is yours.
Yeah, and I'm irresponsible.
You can't even take care of yourself.
Right. A child is like a pet, but if the pet dies, you go to jail.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Pretty
it's
much.
Basically every 15 minutes making sure that the child is alive.
Yes.
At all
yes.
times.
More than I can handle, yeah.
Take us back. A young Gary Goldman. Mom, dad, there was a story our news guy Josh, who you're very familiar with, three-time Murrow Award winner, just did a story about a kid. He goes to baseball, first day, opening day, skips school, holds up a sign. MLB takes a photo of the sign. Basically says, hey, I skipped school. I'm coming to the game.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody. Shh.
Yeah.
MLB tweets it to everyone, says, hey, we got your back. We won't.
And here's the thing, though.
Is also at the
game. Well, but in 2018, as he was doing the story, I'm like, in 2018, this story ends with kid being suspended, right, or something? Because that's the way it is nowadays. Oh, the school found out and saw it on TV, and now little Timmy's been suspended for 3 days.
Unexcused.
Turns
absence.
Out, principal's at the game. All's good. Like they do the bro hug. They're like, we both cut school. We're here.
Buys the kid
ending.
Beer.
It's a happy ending.
Yeah.
And I was, you don't see that nowadays. Everything is like, oh, God forbid you take your kid out of school. Now he's missing out on valuable education, and he will now be suspended for 3 days.
One of the
like,
kids.
I think you're overstating the fascism of school nowadays. I don't think that's the
Here's
the case.
Where he's,
I think
he's
they're,
not
they're
wrong.
More open-minded. I think that
man, really? My
yes,
kid's school,
absolutely.
I have to fill a form out if they miss. I got to go online and log on and like type Y numbnuts at a nosebleed.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It sucks.
It's crazy.
Oh, I see. I don't have any children, so I don't know that this is going on. I just remember living in fear in elementary school. Like it seems that bullies are on the run now. But when I was a kid, bullies were considered.
Well, bullies are on the run.
Bullies
yes.
were considered staff in my school. Like
they got to park
like the school nurse.
Yeah. They got to go to the teacher's lounge and get something out of the fridge.
Absolutely.
Billy, we noticed your
smoking privileges and everything. Yeah.
We noticed your bullying quote is down for the month. Can you?
Hey, you mind kicking that Schlamsky kid's ass?
Go rough up Schlamsky a little bit.
Yes, there would be some relief when the bully was suspended for some crime.
But, I can breathe for 5 days.
There had to be. You just unfolded this scenario in my head. Somewhere, some teacher contracted a bully and put out a private hit on the kid. Like, 100%. Hey, listen, if that kid doesn't make it to fifth period, I ain't going to be mad. Do what needs doing.
The Godfather theme.
Do what needs doing.
I've been rewatching The Sopranos.
Oh, wow.
And it's so great that my only complaint is that I didn't notice this when I watched it the first time around. As a Jewish person, the portrayal of Jews on The Sopranos and in general in any Martin Scorsese type movie are just the most horrific stereotypes of Jews.
Yeah, I guess the same could be said for the Italians, right? I mean, it's just
Italian. Every minority group is just a cartoon.
Yeah, there's an Irish guy with a green top hat on, just dancing drunk in an intersection.
Yes,
it's hey Tony. I had sex with a dog I found the other day. Okay, Patty. Yeah, not a lot of nuance.
No, nuance.
Gary, we're going to be at Joke House tonight, tomorrow night.
And I think it's interesting when a comic has a piece of work that, much like a musician, when you go to see the Rolling Stones, I want to hear Brown Sugar. All right, I want to see, I want to hear Satisfaction. Yeah. I go to see Guns N' Roses, I want to hear, Welcome to the Jungle. You got bits and songs and stuff you want to hear when you go see a musician. A comic, on the other hand, more often than not, man, you're constantly cranking out fresh stuff all the time. And you do.
Yeah.
But you had a bit that when we said that you were coming on, just started getting circulated immediately.
Oh, wow.
Gotta watch it. And we have it posted at JSS98 Rock. Take us back. Conan was where we saw it, 2016, about the state abbreviations.
Yes.
And it might be, not blowing smoke up your ass, one of the most well-crafted, well-told, easy to follow, yet so ridiculously complex bits
thank
of stand-up
you.
Ever.
Thanks, guys.
It's really
so nice.
Well done. I mean, people, I just teased it earlier, like, hey, what bit is it? And everyone just like, the abbreviation, what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Do people ever like call out for that?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Do that
a,
bit.
A lot of
do
times, like I do a new set that I had a special on or have a special on Netflix that came out last year, and so I've turned over my material. I won't do any of the jokes from the special because I feel like people are going to be outraged if they see jokes.
Well, it's like he said, when you go to a concert, you want to hear the same songs, but with comics, you don't want to hear the same jokes.
Right.
Like you've already heard the joke.
Yeah, but sometimes after I do an hour and 15 minutes or something, I'll say, are there any requests? And it's always abbreviations or this joke I did about the grapefruits versus grapes and also this story I tell about a meltdown I had at Trader Joe's. But the abbreviations joke is by far the most requested. That's my come on, Eileen.
Well, the premise is the documentary even a real thing?
No. I made it up.
And God, it's genius because I'm not kidding. I'm watching this baby like I'm looking. I feel like adult because I'm like, Maryland State Abbreviation Documentary. State Abbreviation Documentary.
It's not
the premise is that you watch this documentary about this group of people that have to come together and abbreviate the states, like whatever Maryland is. What is Maryland?
MD.
MD and
so good.
MD, because Massachusetts was MA. So they couldn't, and just the frustration involved with finding that like half the states begin with the same first two letters.
We got Alaska and Alabama. Yeah. We should just do
right. So that's how each. That's how it started. Just the frustration and also it didn't work for a long time because I didn't say that it was a documentary because nobody would believe that they would make a documentary about such a weird thing. And then there was this documentary called Helvetica, which is about the font. And
so,
I started making fun of the fact that documentaries could be about little things And then I said, like, listen to this one. And then I completely made up this absurd documentary about people abbreviating
but
the
states.
But
as you're telling the joke, like, in my mind, I'm envisioning these people, wherever they were, like, sitting with Dottie, the secretary, and the guy who's running the meeting. And there, I envision these, like, six people sitting down there, like, in this crummy conference room in a hotel or whatever. And it just... And then it offshoots with, you know, whatever.
The omelet station.
The omelet station and the omelet cook.
I didn't want to grow up to be an omelet chef.
You didn't want to be soft.
You wanted to be the chef, not the omelet chef.
Oh, wow.
You're going to tell me how to make it? Did you say holiday sauce, sir?
Yes.
Holiday sauce?
Yeah, it's up on our Twitter. You got to watch it.
But oh, thank
how
you.
How does that... I don't know.
The premise was that when I first started doing comedy, I tried to write this joke about how the abbreviating of the states was not as easy as it seemed. And because most of the states started with the same first two letters, and it was like right off the bat, Alaska, Alabama, then Arizona and Arkansas.
Damn
they're,
it.
They're just so angry and frustrated,
oh,
and infighting starts and
gunshots.
So I worked on it. Yeah, I worked on it for years, and it never really worked. And then I dusted it off a few years ago. And told it as a fake documentary,
God.
And everybody bought into it, and it was such a
and
such
I find
a gift.
Nothing more insufferable than the analytical comedy blog, the person that's never done stand up, but
breaks down
the intricacies of your bit. Here's how Gary Gulman should have maybe removed these. Like, you've never stood in front of a microphone.
Right. It must be how athletes feel about sports writers.
Yeah, it's like anybody
you're all failed basketball players.
Yeah.
And you're telling me how to shoot jump shots.
You're Skip Baylesses of the world trying to tell James Harden how to shoot from the free throw line.
Infuriating.
But the reason I bring that up is I usually don't like this. Honestly, we never do this with comics, but that bit was so good and it was requested and so brought up that you almost have to break down the philosophy of it. And like getting back to the original point of the conversation that when you're a musician, you get to play the same song 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Your band might have a cover band version of it, they get to play your songs.
Yeah.
But there's no such thing as a cover comic.
Yeah,
there's
actually seen, there's a night in New York where comedians do other comedians' jokes.
Really?
I've seen a woman do that joke and a couple of other my jokes.
The abbreviation joke?
It was either the abbreviation joke or this joke I tell about role-playing with my girlfriend where inhabiting the role and doing the proper acting is more important to me than actually having sex with my girlfriend, and she becomes angry, and she's trying to pass this class. And so she offers me sex in exchange for a passing grade, and I ask her to do extra credit, and I look at her attendance and everything like that, and I decide that I want her to be a better student. I don't want to have sex.
Is out of there.
Yeah,
you just want to tutor her in trigonometry.
Yes.
So what's that like to see someone else, something that's completely from your own mind and crafted and then worked on and massaged for however many months or years in the abbreviation case, and then to see that told in front of you? What's that like?
It was interesting because I was like, I've done it so many times that if I ever dust it off, I'm like, oh, I forgot that's actually, I've been mailing it in the past dozen times that I've done it, that this person really takes it seriously and acts it out and everything. And I'm like, I need to do that better if I do it. I hardly ever do it, but when I get a request for it, I'll do it. I'm like, I need to take more care in this because actually outperformed me.
No one plays Detroit Rock City harder than a Kiss cover band.
It's so true.
Compared to Kiss themselves.
Saturday
night. Okay, are we done? Where's my $1 million? Meanwhile, the guy playing at the bar next door for 30 people.
Slaying.
He's Paul Stanley.
Yes, I admire those people so much.
There's that is so cool.
19 people in the audience, and they're killing it.
Gary Gulman, Gooby's Joke House, all weekend long. And quickly, we got to talk about you just recently in January went, now what is it, full vegan?
Yeah, but I say I'm a vegetarian because people look down on vegetarians less than they do vegans. Yes, but I when I'm on the road. It's just, I think I've gotten to this point in my life where I like to, I feel that life is too easy.
Yeah.
So I'm
trying
like,
to set some obstacles.
Why don't I set limits to really enjoying life and the perfect music for an ascetic. I'm trying to avoid pleasure at this point in my life. I stopped putting cream and sugar in my coffee.
They make almond milk, right? Is that okay?
I do use almond milk and I can't get, how did anybody ever figure out that you could turn almonds into milk? I was amazed that they were able to combine it with dark chocolate and coconuts and make the almond joy. And they're like, no, we can also make this into actually delicious milk.
No, squeeze milk, that son of a bitch.
And then it never goes bad practically. Like, I got almond milk in March. It's good till July.
That's alarming. Snot.
Snotty
water.
You're overstating
the
it.
Silk?
Almond milk is good.
Ugh,
it really is. Listen, it's not like cream is any better. Cream is really thick phlegm.
Okay, but I expect like half and half to be like real nice and throaty. But when throaty. But like the first time you taste almond milk, you're like,
oh my gosh. I don't say this to every radio show that I go on, but if I lived here, you would have a problem with me coming in on my off days.
Oh, that's so nice of you, man.
Are so easy to talk to and so much fun, and we agree on so many things.
So great.
You had dabbled in it up until January of this year.
Yeah, when it was hard on the
food
road.
Food Inc. was one of the big
food
things.
Food Inc. And then I read this article by this guy named Michael Pollan, Pollan. And he was quoting this man who wrote a book called Animal Liberation, and he was talking about the idea that we don't treat people who are less intelligent than us in real life like other people who are less intelligent. We don't treat them very poorly. We've given them equality. And he said, why shouldn't we do that with animals? They're just less intelligent versions of ourselves. And I haven't been able to go back since I read that. It resonated with me.
He looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin if he grew up near Chernobyl. He looks like a sickly Austin 316.
So now you're full-fledged for last four months.
Yeah, 4 months.
How you feel?
I feel my digestion is so good.
How are the poops? I hear the poops are just insane.
Remarkable. And I could have a meal and then exercise within 20 or 30 minutes.
You don't feel heavy, weighed down.
Whereas before when I was eating chicken and even
fish. You'd
be
in pain.
I would be in pain exercising even the same day that I ate.
Did you have any like conditions that went away? We hear that people that like become vegan, vegetarian, whatever, like their skin clears up, their vision improves.
I haven't noticed any of that. I always ate pretty healthy, so that wasn't an issue. I take a B12. You said your girlfriend had trouble when she first watched
Food Inc. She said she was very tired for the first 10 days.
Yeah, she
of
was tired. So a B12 complex vitamin can usually help that out. My doctor said, but other than that, I just have to seek out different protein sources, which sometimes can be difficult. But almond butter is delicious and
almond butter's tasty.
Yeah, and peanut butter.
I wonder if I ever leaned more onto that type of diet. Like I have all kinds of crap wrong with me. I eat a ton of meat, but also have intense erectile dysfunction. Just my penis is just going to bed forever.
Wow, it's really opening up.
Yeah, it really shuts down on me.
We share. That's interesting.
I can't imagine that vegetarianism
are gross and translucent.
I can't imagine that vegetarianism will stiffen you.
Will help that.
But yeah.
Yeah, maybe
you never know.
I think I'm going to give it a shot. I'm in Magoobies all this weekend, man. Dude,
Thanks so much, guys.
A pleasure.
Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Please keep in touch. If you ever need any information on any of part of my wheelhouse, which is Boston and comedy, give me a call.
Done and done.
Yeah.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
WrestleMania 34 in the books. And you know what's funny? I read something. You know, I got to go to WrestleMania New Orleans. It was a good time. Maybe never want to watch wrestling again because the fans around me were just so horrible. But Vince McMahon doesn't like to call it by numbers. How there's, you know, Super Bowl 47, Super Bowl 48. He feels like if you number an event, it makes it seem old and dated. It used to be called the granddaddy of them all, and he bars that language. Like there's certain words you can't use on TV anymore. And numbering WrestleManias, you can't call it that. You just got to call it WrestleMania.
We've been known to do that with this station. That after a certain, I remember years ago, it was the 30-year anniversary, and we did the Dirty 30, and it was like a big deal. But then after a while, it was like, you don't want to like kind of age yourself.
Yeah, I guess it makes you seem like, wonder if football.
Because now we just reached 41.
God, yeah, 41 years old sounds like gray chest hair and like a child custody case. Doesn't sound like someone you want to hang out with. Speaking of which, our birthday's coming up in, 3 months? July? 5 years on the air for us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Let's just pretend it's not happening, I guess.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and just sweep it under the rug. Sweep it under the rug. No big deal. Well, coming up, I went to WrestleMania, might have got measles, saw a fight. It was a great time. Ronda Rousey was excellent. All behind the curtain.
Justin, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. I am. Even though the world yesterday was like, oh, you're glad to be back? Yeah, okay, sure.
New Orleans, WrestleMania. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I guess you got back yesterday, Tuesday?
Yeah. Got back yesterday. Real quick, I'll give you the very, very, very end of the story. I shouldn't laugh, but it's funny. Yesterday, we touch down, we get home, we go over to the grandparents' house, we pick up all the kids, and Evan comes sprinting towards us. He trips, he falls, and he dives into a GD sticker bush. On his way to see his parents, like a couple of escaped convicts getting caught in the razor wire above a prison's walls, gets caught, and mom's looking at me like I'm this ass because I'm laughing like a hyena, and this kid's just caught inside of the barbed wire. Then the other kid, who won't go named, we get home. We all get down for food. We lay a spread on the table, and she is incapable of sitting properly. She just can't put ass in seat. It has to be this Cirque du Soleil mount and dismount. Minute she sits in the chair, so tell me about on the floor, wipes out, cracks her head, starts screaming.
Welcome home.
My baby's face is bleeding, and she's got a bone sticking out the skin. I'm back.
So how was it?
It was everything I needed it to be. It was great. It was so cool. I do have, for our 7 o'clock Pitch-A-Bitch, it's a Pitch-A-Bitch Wednesday, I do have one that I will give you about the event itself. But I need to start right off the bat. I need to eat crow. I need a scoop of humble pie. I need to take the dress shoe out of my mouth. Oh, my God. The stuff with Ronda Rousey was incredible. It was incredible.
Now, there was a match, which I saw some of, and it looked like she gave 110%.
Oh, my God.
Flying all over the place. She looked like a long-time wrestler.
You know what she did well? For those that aren't aware of what happened,
Ronda Rousey, of course, UFC fighter, lost a bunch of really high-profile matches, devolved into obscurity, has been a sourpuss, sour-faced crybaby for the last however many years, reemerges in the WWE with a big contract a few months ago, leading up to WrestleMania. All of her mic time has been awful.
Not good.
But... yeah, the match, I guess, was rave reviews. The WrestleMania match.
It could not have gone any better. I'm telling you, if there were any mild botches at all, it wasn't even on her part. Stephanie McMahon, Triple H versus Kurt Angle, former Olympic gold medalist, former WWE champion, Hall of Famer, and Ronda Rousey. And it was as entertaining as I could ask for. Mike, what do you think? Let me ask you. Mike, you're probably someone that watched wrestling maybe as much as I have at any point. What do you think one of the hardest things to do is a professional wrestler would be?
Besides actually talking?
In the ring. What's one of the more harder things to do, believably? Shout out to local pro wrestler by the name of Ken Dixon, who does this very well. What's a hard thing to do you think would be simple?
Hurricane Rana?
That is a very hard thing to do.
Fake punch.
Scott, you're in my head. Right there.
I knew what it was.
Scott gets it right off the bat. to be able to look like you're actually striking someone
or
and not
getting
just,
hit.
Or get hit and not tee off on their face for real is, from what I've been told by pro wrestlers, I am not one, so I don't know my ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to it, is to throw a strike really well. Much less to throw one strike, to throw combinations. And man, did she get up in Triple H and Stephanie McMahon's ass, where she was throwing these hands. She was throwing these hands at people. And it looked so freaking believable. She threw that one gut punch at Stephanie that made Stephanie fall over and drop. The arena came unglued. The arena was just, oh yeah, punch her in the stomach. It was so entertaining.
How was New Orleans? Did you get drunk a lot?
I didn't get as banged up as you thought I would have gotten. It was a little bit rainy. It wasn't the worst weather in the world. Shocker, the day that we leave, it's like 75 degrees, sunny, light breeze from the east. The rest of the time, though, it was a little bit rainy. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. It was overcast, but the city was awesome. Bourbon Street was great. They had cops every block. And it was just a bunch of animals out there wearing Bullet Club and John Cena t-shirts, high-fiving, having a blast. I ate as much fried, spiced food as I've ever eaten. I was crunching on Xanax 75 like they were Reese's Pieces. I got heartburn in a way that I thought I was on the cusp of death at about 2 a.m. sometimes.
Oh, that's the worst.
Just chucking Xanax down my throat. Or Zantac, excuse me, Xanax. Zantac down my throat. Yeah, I was having panic attacks the whole time.
What's up,
yeah.
Lil Xan?
Hey, Lil Xan, Lil Zantac. There needs to be a rapper with heartburn called Lil Zantac. Write that down immediately.
Write it down!
Write it down, Mike. It was not awesome, writing. Man. City was cool. The people were cool.
Anything of note? Anything major?
What did I do?
It looked like I saw a photo from Café Du Monde.
I went to
beignets.
Café Du Monde. I got beignets. Beignets were great. I got a couple of po' boy sandwiches. I got an oyster sandwich. I got a shrimp sandwich.
Did you go to Pat O'Brien's and get a hurricane?
I did not get a hurricane. Mm. I did get a muffaletta sandwich.
Okay.
Super gross. Yeah. Really gross. No,
I think it's the olive spread.
It was, ugh. It was so much olive. It was just like licking the back of a badger's hindquarters. So tart. So tart. I was like, I just want to do what you do in New Orleans and eat all the stuff. I got a spicy gumbo.
Let me ask you this. In terms of WrestleMania, Justin.
Yes.
Leading up to it was the big issue was the length of the actual show.
Hear, hear.
Is that your pitch a bitch? I don't want to steal your pitch a bitch, but.
It's not.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, because I'll even give you the opposite. It didn't seem that long.
Well, it was like seven or 8 hours long. Did you go there for the whole thing?
I did. I saw
you
the pre-show.
Did?
I saw the pre-show all the way to the end, baby. I sat down
did
in my seat.
Did your significant other go with you?
Whole time.
The whole time.
Fist in the air. Damn trooper. Not a complaint.
Wow.
Not a whine.
Good
not a
for
bitch.
Her.
Nothing.
I thought
she's
she might
screaming.
Have.
She's pouring beers down her gullet. I got to carry her out of there like a big soggy ogre. Oh, no, it was great.
Because it was. What time did it start? 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
There was a block party out front from 1 to 3.
Oh.
And then from 3 o'clock on, people are sitting down. I think it was around 4 that the pre-show got started.
It went to like, what, midnight?
It went shy about 11:30.
God, 7.5 hours.
I was in there for 7.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
7.5 hours.
I thought maybe because you had her with you, you would like show up around like 8, like, you know, when the main stuff started, like 8-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you went the whole damn thing.
You know who we ran into that told us not to get there until the main show has started? John Cena's childhood friends. We went to a steakhouse that John Cena was having a dinner at later, definitely stalking him. Yeah, I might have left the bartender a shockingly large tip to get a tip on where John Cena would be sitting. And did I gain access? Absolutely not. Did I waste money? Absolutely. But his friends were in there waiting for him. And they're all from like Boston and New Jersey. It was a great bunch of guys. And they were telling us like, this is our 13th one we've been to. Do not go to the pre-show. It's so long. It's such
yeah.
a slog. Don't go to it. Of course, I ignored their advice and went to the whole damn thing. It was great. And as I return with tales told from WrestleMania 34, I'd be remiss if I did not mention one of the funnier happenings of the night. Did anyone read the news about the 10-year-old kid who became a tag team champion?
Yes, I saw that.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
And then what was the other thing where...
Big Bad Braun Strowman picking Young Nick, who retires on top.
Like, The Undertaker came out, and then John Cena came out of the crowd or something, or...
I'm going to fold that directly into my pitch a bitch at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to fold that in there because there's... I got some thoughts about that. So funny. So this kid gets plucked out of the audience. Wink, wink. He was just an audience member. Turns out he's like the referee's son. The very next night on Raw, what are you going to do with a 10-year-old tag team champion? Big Bad Braun Strowman, one of the actual pro wrestlers, former World Strongman competitor, goes, "We got to relinquish the titles. He's got prior commitments. He's still in the fourth grade." And they hand the titles over, and I slap my knee. So WrestleMania goes on. We have a great time. It's super long. And, you know, right around 11:30 or so, we all go to leave. And...
So this is on the way out.
On the way out. Everyone's been drinking for hours.
Hell yeah.
Everyone's been eating for hours.
Yeah.
The food at the Superdome's fantastic. They got po' boys. They only did the shrimp ones. The little
get yourself small a shrimp po' boy.
Get a shrimp po' boy and
some
get
of that romelade on it.
Get yourself some of that red beans and rice. Zatarain's. Jazz it up, Michael. So everyone's been eating and drinking and feeling loosey-goosey. A couple of rows back from me, these two rows have been jaw-jacking about this, that, whatever. And I'm only catching glimpses of it. I don't care. I'm paying attention to the show. But I just hear, yeah, he's good. Oh, shut up. Why don't you just watch the show. Just watch. All night long, I'm hearing it. And crowd ends, show ends, crowd leaves. We're walking up the steps, and I hear them start to jaw-jack right in front of me. Why don't you mind your own business? Why don't you quit being such a Roman Reigns mark? Why? And they're just yelling about nothing.
What are they even fighting about?
What are they fighting about? Okay? We're watching theater. This isn't like the Ravens losing to the Steelers in the playoffs. This is theater. Okay? There's nothing to get fired up about. And you've got this woman yelling at this guy. This guy is a buck 10 holding a cinder block. Hair is as greasy as some of the po' boys I've been eating. And as they're walking, she comes out of one row to my left. He comes out of one row to my right.
Man and a woman?
Man and a woman. Man and a woman. Husband standing behind woman. Friend standing behind man. And they're yelling about this, that, and whatever. And I'm only getting pieces of it because it's so loud. And then you just hear him lean into her face. And Mike, if you could see, she's here, probably about 6 inches from my face. He's here, right around here.
Oh, they're right there.
Right
here.
He leans in and goes, "You need to go to the gym, you fat bitch."
Oh!
The whole crowd goes, they're all screaming.
She has to, I mean, if I know anything about anything, she has to immediately throw hands.
Wham! Right in the face.
I mean,
line drive.
She can't even control it at that point.
Boom! Right to the mush. Didn't even wind up. Does one of those hip snap punches where you don't wind back, just... pow! Right to the face.
And does he laugh or is he?
He doesn't. He falls into his friend.
Oh!
His friend falls into the guy behind him.
She tagged him.
And like four people domino down. Crowd starts laughing their ass off. She puts her hands in the air like a wrestler. Whole crowd just cheers.
Yeah! Woo! Get some!
It was incredible. Buck starts laughing her drunk ass off. She's seven beers in, all 110 pounds of her. She's laughing. I'm laughing. It didn't look like his nose was bloodied, but it immediately went crimson, like real
nice.
Red. Oh, but I was thinking, you hear those stories about had they only not turned around to get their car keys and had left the house on time,
right,
they wouldn't have been involved in that five-car pileup later on. Had I not stopped to reach down and get my ticket stub that dropped on the floor, I would have been directly in between those two and quite possibly taken that line drive to the mush myself. That's but yeah, hilarious. So funny. He just leans right into her face. You need to go to the gym, you fat bitch. Boom. And just knocks him over. God, he
probably wouldn't even when you probably he probably wasn't even expecting that. But when you're going to throw around words like that and get that heated and that in someone's face, you got to be ready for anything.
And it sounded like they weren't even chucking insults. Just, oh, shut up. You know what? Just leave. Why don't you just go? Why don't you do? And then he drops that A-bomb. She punches him right in the face. Crowd cheers. He falls over. He looks like an idiot. So a good time was had by all. And the fights in the ring were as funny as the fights just outside of them.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the Curtain, Saturday morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel. Coming up, you'll hear us talking about high school recitals. And I never knew just how torturous they were. I guess I kind of never thought about it. But coming up, you'll hear some of these calls and these texts that it is just sheer torture. But we also learned that Mike Anderson, known fourth chair violinist, but another piece of that puzzle was that there were 30 violinists. So you had beaten out 26 other violinists to make it all the way up to fourth chair. Who was third, second, and first?
First and second were some real heavyweights. And third chair, which was next to me, my standmate was a girl that would actually become my girlfriend years later. I knew her my entire life from elementary school on.
Well, that's sick.
Is that the girl you were banging in your parents' house?
One of them, I guess.
How many girls have you had sex with?
Not a lot.
20?
Maybe. I've never
between
really
10 and 20?
It's probably somewhere in the 20 range, maybe.
God, you're such a stud.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I've got friends that are like damn near close to 100. Where are you at?
Maybe, yeah, between 10 and 20. Right in there somewhere. Not a lot. I had a lot of opportunity. I mean, and I'm not even like bragging because I never sealed the deal, but I mean, I had a lot of opportunities in high school, but I was just so like, I don't know what it was. I was scared or something. I was terrified. I was insecure.
Well,
I just would like run away.
Yeah, I didn't.
Not physically, like, but I would just like mentally and I would just avoid it.
Well, what would happen is I would be fixated on one girl, like trying to get her to go out with me or go to a dance or what have you. And then another girl would be interested in me, and I'd shoo her away because I was so focused on trying to get this girl, which I never
did. So then you had two, and then you had none. Man. Well, coming up, here it is. School recitals, Mike being fourth chair violinist, and just how torturous some of them are. And Joe, let me know if this sounds familiar. That's not real.
How old are these kids,
That's
Mike?
That's not real. Is that real?
Play a little more.
Hold on.
Oh, it's real. And see how long it takes for you to actually guess the song. We all know this song.
Okay.
Really? All right, hold on.
Oh, wish you a Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Really? I didn't even get it.
It's perfectly clear.
Stop it. This is not real, Mike.
It is.
How old are these kids?
They're in elementary school. Oh, trust me, I've been to concerts like this.
So
it's really that bad?
Being it's that bad. One, yeah, elementary school kids? Oh, yeah.
Being the only one in this room that's had kids go all the way grade one through all the way through elementary school. You know, when my kids were in private
school, hell.
Each grade had a band. I'm not kidding. So there were first graders that were playing, and I specifically remember they did the theme from Jaws. Because I guess it was easy to do, you know, da-da-da-da-da, right. Not the doodle-doodle-doo, they didn't do that part. They just, and of course, there's also kids playing the drums going, you know, they're just banging on these things, and it ends abruptly. And of course, when you're at those, and you're going to go through this, Scott, this is going to happen to you soon.
Let me ask you this question, because right now I'm still in the stage where
I love her so much, and I'll never stop loving her, but it's still like a new and fresh and cute and exciting, like, oh, look how cute. When does that wear off? And it's just like, oh God, get me the hell out of here.
No, it wears off quick because here's why. When you go to these things, they're like 2 hours long.
Right.
Okay. And you're seeing choirs and, you know, you're seeing, now my kids went to a private school in elementary school, so you're not even hearing cool songs.
Right. They wouldn't, like, not pop songs or anything like that.
Fast forward a little bit. My son did a play in this school, and it's a Christian school. So no lie, the theme of this play is they're going to some event and he's a huge Christian rock singer. I'm not kidding. Uh-huh. He's playing this. Yeah. I mean, and of course the messages are all sectarian based, you know, they're based rooted in this religion, but it's obviously horrible. It's the least cool thing, but they're trying to represent him as some
right.
He's wearing a leather jacket. Ugh. He's talking about Jesus. It's not.
How many minutes in are you just tapping out?
Well, it's my son. So,
but I mean, you stayed, but mentally just.
No, you don't tap out of that. And I'll tell you why. Because in this case, my son had, you know, dozens and dozens of lines. So there's no like, oh, this is awful. It's more like you're sitting there like, okay, say your lines. All right, be serviceable, you know.
Yeah.
So you're almost a little tense rooting for him to get through this without any horrible mistakes. And that's your victory.
Just no mistakes.
But I'm telling you, when you go to like a play,
yeah,
that your son is not he's a tree or something, and you're just watching crap. Sometimes these things are 2 hours long. Now, the impetus for this is my son is now a senior in high school, and the plays get much better as time goes
right,
on.
Right. I mean, I remember, that's what I'm thinking back to. Like, I remember my buddy Tom was in drama,
mm-hmm.
and he was a ham, dude. And he, like, stole the there were kids that were really into drama. And my friend Tom was just kind of like a jock, but he was goofy and everybody loved him. And he stole every freaking scene. But I remember the plays, like, not being that terrible.
Mm.
But that's right, but that's what I mean. Like, that's just the way I remembered it.
Yeah. Well,
part of it's probably because you know the people, too.
Yeah.
I was thinking, too, this is kind of separate, but just driving by these recreational fields on the weekend, I see these parents watching their, you know, toddlers playing soccer, and I'm like, I cannot imagine sitting through an hour of them playing soccer.
Frustrating.
On a Saturday morning.
To watch them play sports, especially if they suck. I've told this before, I think. I don't know if I told it on here, but my kids used to swim.
Right.
And they were horrible. They were not good swimmers.
Ha!
My youngest son, he was in the last heat. Now, you know, the way swimming goes is the best, the fastest are in the first, and it keeps going down
so
until you get to this.
The last.
Now, he was in the last heat with two other kids. One kid was a special needs kid.
Oh, my God.
Right. And the other kid was an African-American kid. These are the two swimmers that he swam against.
Right.
And, of course, he'd win.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the other thing is the whole pool was cheering because of the kid who was special needs.
Right.
So at the end of this heat, they hand you a ribbon.
Yeah.
So my son is, you go in his room, it's just plastered with swimming ribbons. He's some amazing swimmer. And he's literally the third worst in the whole, on the whole team.
Right.
So, of course, you don't want to be one of these parents and be like, well, you know, you suck. I never said that.
Yeah.
But the plays are a little bit easier to take, but they get easier to take as time goes on, because when you are early on, especially these, and you're going to see them, these band things where you have to sit through like 15 songs?
Yeah.
Just you wait.
See, I'm still in that thing, though, where it's, like, cute to me. And that, I guess that's going to wear off.
Other people's kids. They're not cute.
Yeah, that's the thing. The other people's kids, I've learned quickly that you just don't give a rat's ass. Like, your kid is so special, but everyone else's kid's an idiot. Childhood recitals. Joe, you've sat through a bunch. You said they were awful. I guess I didn't ever really put much thought into it.
The younger, the worse.
There are no texters or callers that are checking in saying they're great or they're fantastic.
Can I say something? One time when my oldest son was like in the fifth grade, there was one girl who was outstanding.
Right.
I remember, he's 20 years old now. I remember it. That's how infrequent it is.
Yeah, I mean, just some texts coming in. Dance recitals are the worst. Scott, it is that bad. Yes, it is that bad. And you have to sit through a bunch of extra performances that your kid isn't even in. Talent shows are the worst. Went to my daughter's talent show last week. She was the last one to go, having to sit through the other kids' horrible singing, boring gymnastics routine. It's absolutely terrible. Like, how do these kids even get chosen for a talent show? There's no talent there.
I remember one time they were filming.
This is great.
They were filming the show, whatever this was, right. The band, and I was sitting right by the camera, and I didn't realize it. I was just MFing the entire show.
You got picked up on the
eventually,
audio?
I don't know, but I remember thinking, oh my God, right. I wonder if they just hear me just crapping right. on every other kid that's, you know, in the show.
All right, let's go line one. We have Caitlin. Good morning, Caitlin.
Hi, guys. I just want to say I love listening to your show in the morning. You guys are absolutely the best. So I have three kids, and my oldest daughter, when she was in fourth grade, decided to play the clarinet in her band. And I have to say, you have the parents that are just kind of sitting there, like, they know their kids are bad. But then you have the parents that are sitting there that want to see that their kids do really well, and they have this idea in their head that their kid is the best player. So whenever we go to those types of concerts, there's always that one parent that's like, oh, my kid is the best.
Right.
He's practiced really hard. And I'm just like, my kid sucks. Like, but, you know, I also see, like, the progression. She's in seventh grade now, and the progression of their from the fourth grade program all the way up to the seventh grade program, it's amazing to see how far they've come. They also do a side-by-side concert with the high school kids.
Right.
And it's hilarious when the high schoolers have to kind of go down levels to match the elementary school kids. And the elementary school kids, you can't hear because the high schoolers are playing so loud. So it kind of drowned out their badness.
My oldest, when he was in elementary school, he played the trombone. And I'm sure you'll be able to relate. He used to have to practice.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
So like, now they're at home.
Yeah. I mean, I live in an apartment, and I can tell you my neighbors heard it because she would just, it would squeak. It would be like that clarinet squeaking.
Yeah, you hit the wrong note.
Wouldn't know how to put her fingers on the little knobs when she first got it. So as soon as we got home from the music store, she wanted to play it, and I was like, okay, and the squeaking and just the horn blowing sound. My dog would hide.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Thanks for the call, Caitlin. We appreciate it. Great call. There's a whole lot of layers to this that you don't even, like, Mike, eventually, Mike is very, very humble, but he told us that we knew he was fourth chair violinist,
but
right?
You don't know if that's a big deal because maybe there's five.
Maybe there's only five chairs. There were 30 violins, and he made fourth chair.
It's pretty good. He beat out 26 other kids.
But you've all heard the kid who first picks up the violin, and she's like, that like squeaky, just torturous noise. Let's go to Tom in Crofton. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Joe, I used to run with you at the church group.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, by the way, you're too hard on your kids. Your kids are great. So.
Who said they weren't great?
I like those guys. I don't think they're as bad as you make them out to be, but it is pretty funny. But, my kids did a lot of sports and the music and everything together, but it definitely gets better. I know the middle school is a pretty talented program. And they got better. My kid wasn't very good, but the nice thing about our school was that they got him out quickly. It was only about an hour total.
That's it.
So it wasn't dragging on.
That's a godsend, an hour.
You can't make these things like 3 hours. Thanks for the call. You make these things 3 hours, and you're like, what the hell is going on? We'll take one more here. Brenda in Pasadena.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
What do you got?
Well, I have not as bad as you think. I have a son. He's four. I mean, in the fourth grade. Last year, he wanted to do violin. Oh. And then this year, in the fourth grade, he's doing trumpet. But Sally Elementary School, I believe, due to overcrowding, I don't know. But what they do is you don't have to listen, like, through the whole thing. From, like, the first 45 minutes, it's just the strings. Uh-huh. And they only play for, like, and actually pretty good. I was surprised. I was prepared for the noise, but I guess it's a good teacher. But when they're over,
all those parents leave, and the second set of parents come in.
Oh, it's great.
And listen to, like, the trumpet. So, unless you got two kids, you're, you know.
Right, so you only have to show up for your kid because, like, you know, you're hearing a lot of these stories where it's like you're just there to see your kid.
If you have two kids, you make sure they play the same instrument. So you don't have to go through two sessions.
Like, Stella was in a little school, a Montessori school, and they don't do Halloween, which is a discussion for a whole nother day. But they do, like, International Day, where they still get to dress in costume, but they dress in, you know, clothing from around the world.
What country did Stella do?
I don't remember. But they do, like, a little presentation like that. And those kids are so little and cute that everybody is just inherently cute.
I'm from Italy.
And you're like,
I like pizza.
That's
right.
Precious. But then when you get to a certain age, you're just like, I don't give a rat's ass about anyone else's kids. I barely care about mine. I don't want to be here for three freaking hours. One more call. Ben, good morning. Ben, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
So, while I'm not a parent, I do, my childhood's still close enough. I remember when I was in elementary school, some of these teachers actually take it really serious. I had to sit up on stage for 2.5 hours. My teacher, before the performance, looked at me and said, Ben, do not put your lips on that clarinet. She just wanted me to sit up there and pretend like I was playing because she knew I was that bad at it.
Yeah, the fake.
It's a good teacher.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the curtain Saturday morning, Justin Scott and Spiegel. It's Scott. Spiegel is here. Mike is here. Justin, we don't know where he went. He wandered off. Do you know where he went, Mike?
I saw him go out to his car.
He went out to his car.
So what he's doing in there, I do not know.
Pleasuring himself in his car at the moment. Coming up, you're going to hear us talk about hat fishing. It's a phenomenon where guys are posting profile pics of themselves wearing a hat so as to disguise the fact that they're bald, and women are getting pissed off. And you'll hear one guy say, look, you know, it's not my best quality. Why would I want to, you know, put like what I consider to be my worst quality out there on display? Like maybe if I hide it and the woman gets to know me and sees I'm funny and engaging, then maybe later on when the hat comes off, it won't be that big a deal if she's already kind of into me.
Now, is there one thing back when you were dating, was there anything that you would really do your best to try to hide or cover up before a big date?
Well, I mean, I really couldn't hide it, but it's probably my gigantic nose, which I think has impacted my life more than I care to admit or even really allow myself to acknowledge.
Does that go through your head the first time you meet an attractive woman? Like, oh my God, she's looking at my nose. She just looked at it again. Damn it. She knows I have a big nose.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on that level, but it's always in the back of your head. I always just consider myself less attractive than most of the people in the room because of my nose.
What about
you? I would always like just hold myself to a lower regard. What about you, Speegs? Anything like while dating or just interacting with people that you had a thing that, like, we're talking about hat fishing with bald guys. Was there anything that, like,
yeah,
kind of was your thing that you were like, ah, man?
My personality.
Oh, there's that. All right, coming up, here it is. Hat fishing behind the curtain on 98 Rock. Hat fishing. You know what hat fishing is, Joe?
I know it now, yeah.
You know what catfishing is?
I do know what that is.
It's that famous movie that, I don't even remember what that was, like Sundance or something, that guy Neve, and he got catfished. And then MTV picked it up as a show where you just kind of trick people online into thinking you're somebody else, somebody you're not. And then hat fishing is apparently, the term's been around for a while, but it's really been taking off lately. And 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098 if you want to get in on this. Hat fishing is where guys will, you know, create a profile, maybe whether it's on a Tinder, I don't use the Tinder, or Facebook or whatever, dating profiles. And they'll just have a hat on in all of their photos.
I thought that it was, so I misunderstood. I thought it was just where your picture isn't really representative of you, which it's not, but this is specifically pretending you have hair.
Yes. And then let's say they go on a date and it gets to the point, like, maybe you're going to dinner, and, like, the guy's like, well, crap, I can't wear a hat to dinner, you know what I mean? So then he shows up.
He's in a cowboy hat every time you see him.
Some sort of weird formal.
He's like Pharrell.
He's got a beret. Well, I figured it was French. These women are getting angry because, like, hey, you kind of tricked me, and I didn't know you didn't
have
hair.
I thought you were attractive, and it ends up you're hideous.
But the one quote from the guy, I was like, I thought it was it kind of... Where was it, Mike? It said, personally don't. The one guy was like, look, you know, obviously it's not my best feature, so I don't want to put that out there first. So I'm thinking if I can win a woman over, my woman over, like conversation or make her laugh and then maybe, you know, hook her a little bit, then the bald thing might not be such a deal breaker later on. And I was like, you know what? That's not bad reasoning.
Very similar. You know, a guy I work with, Scott Apple, I've mentioned him a million times. Yeah. He used to be on Match. He actually met his wife. She's a doctor, by the way, and now he's rich, which is annoying. But he met her on Match. But he's 5'4". So
yes, that's another thing. Right. He comes walking in.
In his picture, he doesn't lie about his height, but he has his picture where he's standing. This is the truth. He's standing on a box, but he doesn't misrepresent his height in terms of what he lists himself at. But you see a little shoulder in the picture that's the same height as him. So it says, oh, well, he's as tall as the guy that's next to him. It's almost trickery of the mind. Nobody consciously says, I wonder how tall this guy is. Oh, there's a shoulder.
But right. Had that other shoulder been like 5 inches taller, right, you would have went, oh, wait a minute.
He also has his picture taken next to a convertible where he's also standing on a box. So basically, he just put like scale in his pictures.
Why is he standing on boxes?
So he doesn't look tiny.
For these photos.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my
God. You can't walk around with a... You can't take a box into a restaurant with you.
Here it is. It says, no one wants to reveal what they perceive as their least attractive feature right off the bat. If you guys want to be bald, no one shaves their head to the male pattern baldness shape because they think it looks hot. Guys think that if they can get someone interested in their cute face and their personalities, then they stand a chance of hooking that person before the baldness is unleashed. So we have that, right? 410-338-1098. We're going to discuss all this. But how is this any different from the ladies that get all dolled up with fake hair and makeup and their boobs out and they're taking the picture from the angle, that special angle. And then when you see them in person, they look nothing like what these profile pics look like. I mean, we've all seen this.
How's it any different from you using the best picture that you've ever taken, which is what you use on there?
Right. Anyone's profile picture is the best they've ever looked, or what they think is the best they've ever looked.
When we did that comedy show for the Polar Bear Plunge, I saw the picture they used of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not, I don't look like this. So you'll know that picture's like 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So when I show up, don't have sheer disappointment.
Well, and it's like I said, I mean, my profile pic will never be an actual profile photo of myself.
Yeah, you know what is funny? You ever watch the show Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
Remember whenever they showed Beavis from the face
straight on,
he didn't look like himself?
Yeah, because they're always turned.
That's me. I never want to see myself from the side.
Yeah, me
I'm
neither.
I'm much better looking straight on. As soon as I see myself from the side, I'm like, that's how other people see me. When they see me, I literally have to turn my head directly to them so they don't see this creature that you see from the side.
Let's talk to Tyler real quick. I think he kind of just said what I said. This is no different than what these ladies do, correct?
Yes, sir. It's the same thing. You get those aerial view photo shots. Here you are on Tinder going through, flipping around. You want to take somebody home. Next thing you know, you meet them. They're about 180 pounds, but on their profile picture, they look about like they're 120 pounds.
You have personal experience?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
Now, do you...
I know where you're going, Scott.
is that a deal breaker, or you still go through with it? You still hit that?
Hey, baby, you go through with it.
One life to live.
And let me ask you this. I'm not on Tinder. I'm obviously married, and I don't think I've ever even seen the app. You crushing it on Tinder, or what?
Used to be before I settled down, but yeah, I was doing pretty well on Tinder, man. Was doing pretty well on Tinder.
How easy are you? A good looking guy, first of all.
I wouldn't say I'm a Brad Pitt, but I'm a decent looking guy.
And how easy is it on Tinder? Is it just like shooting fish in a barrel?
Man, it's pretty easy, but like I said, you got to filter through them because you'll get a bunch of whales.
No.
Oh,
no.
Come on. Hey,
2018.
Whales.
2018. Be sensitive.
Hey.
But if you guys are.
Story's not standard, fellas. Story's not standard.
But if you're, you know, so you swipe right and you match and then you, what is it? You like, you can, you start to message the person or something?
You just go to a rest stop and you.
Yeah, but I think there's messaging before that, right? And then once you're messaging and you reach a point, you know you're getting laid, right?
Yeah, it depends on how much money you want to spend. I mean, if you want to spend money, take him to dinner. If not, pull up at the rest stop.
Wow. Rest stop. I'm just saying that. Is that real, the rest stop?
A lot of ladies pissed off at dudes wearing hats on Tinder. And then they show up to bang the dude, and he's bald. And they're like,
show
what?
Up to bang him.
That's what you do on Tinder, right? Tinder is just a bang site.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Mike? Mike knows.
I don't know. I miss the Tinder era, too. I was in a relationship when it really started to take off.
I wonder if they're like the guys and they just bang them anyway. Like, well, I'm already here.
Yeah, right? I already drove here. Might as well just get it in. Here's another thing. Beware of closed mouth smile pics. Closed mouth smile. I met a really cute guy on Tinder. Message back and forth. Kind of hit it off, decided to meet up. Turns out his teeth were all black, rotted, and missing. Because all of his pictures had the closed mouth smile. A lady listener here, people nowadays are so worried about physical traits. I'd be more concerned about people lying about important things like personality, job, and etc. And I'm 27, and I took the step to shave my head after it just got too bad in November. And I rock it, though, if I do say so myself. Tinder, Bumble, and all those apps, these chicks look nothing like themselves on their photos with how many filters and crap are out there now. If they're complaining about hair, they're hypocritical. That's what I'm saying. Like, I would love any of these ladies that complain about a guy hiding his baldness. I would love to see your profile picture and how a representative that is of you.
I do agree that women care a lot less about physical appearance than men do. Men seem to be more superficial and shallow. I mean, I've found that to be the case. But you got to get there, so I understand the hat.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Get me there so you can meet me, not me.
Like, well, but you're a great example. You're not great to look at. You're not very attractive. You're doughy and you have breasts, but you're funny.
Yeah.
So if you're able to hook them with the personality, right? Well, I'm in the same boat. I mean, look at me. I'm a mess. I've got giant breasts, a giant nose, a belly.
But we've both done
very well for each other
because
we were able to, you know, get the personality out there. Let's go to. Well, I guess, let's just go to Armando. He's been on hold quite a while. Armando! You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Shout out, Armando.
Yeah. Well, I just think that men should be allowed to do this as well because women use makeup and things like that to make themselves look a lot different than what they really do. Like, believe me, my girl is actually a makeup artist.
Yeah.
So I've seen videos of contouring. If you look that up, you will see how some of these ghouls turn into beautiful women.
Ghouls.
Well, no, you're right. The contouring is where they put, like, shadowing in certain areas, and it almost makes, like their cheeks look thinner and their what are these, the cheekbones higher. Like, it's insane. They're, like, painting shadows on their face.
Have you seen these makeup artists that
skinnier?
Make people look like Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
They look like me, and then they're, yeah.
I mean, there's some women that wear so much makeup the time that when you see them without makeup, you do a double take. You're like, you don't even recognize them.
They're ghouls.
Yeah. Disgusting.
That's just an unfair advantage that women have at all times is makeup. Like,
yeah.
We don't have that luxury. Like, when we're going out, I'll most likely drive and we'll get in the car.
You can put a foundation.
And in a half hour, you know, Chiquita's next to me. She usually does, like, her makeup in the car. She just does it all up and then she gets out and it's like, boom. And then me, I'm just, this is what I look
like. Same guy that left the house.
This is what I look like. I can't do anything. You got nothing for us. Let's go to line one. We got Dave. What's up, Dave? You're on the air.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, yes. Dave?
Woo! So you also got to be careful of those lady men.
Oh,
what do you mean?
What are you speaking from experience?
Like you think it's a woman, and then you get down to business,
and her gun's bigger than yours.
What? That, what has that happened?
Dave,
to you
want talking about Tinder, right?
Yeah, I think we've all been there, guys.
What?
Yeah.
You want to tell us something, Dave?
Yeah.
You got a story?
Well, this one time at band camp.
He's
no, I'm kidding.
Don't do shit. Did you meet up with a woman and then she ended up having a penis?
In my defense, she was very convincing.
All right. I've seen pictures of beautiful women that end up having hogs.
What did you do?
Went with it.
No. Do you know what the capital of Bangkok is?
Yes. You just ruined the joke.
I did.
Capital of Thailand.
Yeah. I asked that one.
Okay.
Right.
He's doing shtick. Thank you for the call.
It went on my way.
All right. Okay. There he goes. Let's go to Jack. What's up, Jack?
Good morning, fellas. How is y'all doing today?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, Tinder isn't quite my thing, but if you really want to get down to business, plenty of fish, dude. That's where it is.
That's free, right?
Yes, it's, well, mostly free, but if you want to get, you know, like, super personal and, you know, get to know them much, you know, more, I guess, then you have to pay, you know, a few bucks a month, I think it is. But, you know, Tinder, you know, people tend to be picky. Plenty of fish, man, you just throw out the line and see who bites.
You're talking about for sex or for dates?
Yeah, isn't Plenty of Fish more of like a
dating
site?
Well, no, I mean, you know, you got like, you know, the whole catfishing issue. It's worse on there than anywhere else.
On Tinder?
On Plenty of Fish, it's more, catfish are more prone on Plenty of Fish than it is Tinder, yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, buddy. Let's wrap it up one more with we got Rebecca, who is on line three. Good morning, Rebecca. We have a woman.
A woman.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you today?
We're good. What's what do you got?
Well, you just seem to say that all morning it's women do the same thing or whatever. I'm 29 years old, and most days of my life I don't even put makeup on. I mean, not all. Not saying I'm beautiful, but I definitely have a very natural look, and not everyone puts themselves out there to be fake.
Are you on a
dating site? I've never had fake hair.
Yeah, you on
dating? I'm not. No, actually, I'm not.
Are you? You got a man?
Not currently, no.
Why don't you have a man?
I just went through a 10-year breakup.
Oh,
breakup after 10 years. Yeah.
What happened?
You didn't wear makeup. Just, that's what happens.
He's got some makeup on.
No.
Be in a relationship.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel, Behind the Curtain. Happy Saturday morning. Earlier in the week, we talked about getting caught by your parents banging. Anybody in the room? Spiegel, Mike, you get caught banging?
I've never been caught.
Me neither. I didn't do a lot of banging.
My parents definitely heard it happening, but...
What? Did you used to bang in your house?
Oh, yeah. My parents didn't care.
What? Wait a minute. This is like a bombshell here on Saturday morning.
I mean, I wasn't
morning.
Like in middle school or anything.
I know, but you were in high school, but they
no,
knew...
No, this was like right out of high school.
They knew that you were actively having sex, which most parents assume... But then they also heard you and knew that you were doing it just in the house.
Yeah, at least my dad. I don't know about my mom. My dad definitely did. He would just be down in the basement watching TV or, you know, putzing around in his room.
All right. Well, Sarah, we'll see you next time. Hope you had a good time.
They were just happy that I was making things happen because I was not active at all in high school, or successful, I should say. I tried, but I was not successful.
Did you guys talk openly about your sex life, Mike?
My mom would try to, but I'd shut it down.
When are you going to bring a girl around, Mike? Do you have any girlfriends?
She would always offer to give me the talk or whatever, and I was like, I already
I can give
I'm
you the talk. I could tell you about it. I could tell you about the penis and the vagina. Well, here it is, getting caught banging behind the curtain, 98 Rock. Talking about sex and your kids. You ever walk in on the kids getting it on?
Does it count if I have walked in... on my terrier filleting himself.
Whoa!
Damn. That happens every day.
Every day. Yeah, I guess that counts.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about like if you're a dad and you walk in and you got a daughter.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And you walk in and there's some high school punk crawling all over your daughter. What do you do? What do you do?
Or imagine,
do you snatch him up by his freaking throat and slam him through a wall?
What else are you going to do?
What if you walk in and there's multiple guys?
Oh, my God. It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
It's going to happen, though. Not that you're going to walk in, but inevitably.
Well,
you know.
but walking in and seeing it, is, you know, yes. Obviously, every, you know.
Eventually.
We all reach that point where we're engaging in sexual activity, but to walk in on it. God dang. Yeah, because we talked last week about parents who had sex basically with their kids in the same room, whether they were on vacation like in a hotel or in a camper or maybe the next room. And, you know, kids that are now grown-ups that have kind of been traumatized by hearing their parents having sex.
Yeah, real quick. I know that's not what we're talking about today, but I remember my when I was younger, my parents, I could hear them.
Right.
And even now, I remember how brief. My father must be a horrible lover because it would be like just done.
Oh God,
doing way better than him.
Okay, we do have a couple. Okay, we got a couple of calls here. We got and these are both guys walking in. Both these are guys walking in on their sons.
Okay,
so one was an actual kid at the time, and the mother came in.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Eric and Dundalk. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Good. So when I was in high school, senior year, I was getting a favor from my girlfriend at the time.
Right.
And her mother completely barged into the room.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. Oh, my. So how did that go down?
What do you do? Run out?
Yeah. What?
No, actually, what I did, I just grabbed her and picked her up, and I just hugged her, and I didn't want to show my face. But to make things 10 times better, her mother had to sit us down and tell us how that was inappropriate. And then we all prayed together about it.
Oh!
Yeah. Did that work?
Any more awkward? And not at all.
Oh. It did. And now, were you able to continue seeing the girl, or was the mom like, hey, "Get out of my house! I never want to see you again."
I never went over her house again.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh man, thanks for the call. Brutal. Let's go to Mike in Bel Air. You're on the air, Mike.
Oh, man, that cracked me up, man. The one about praying about it. I got two quick stories. One, when I was a teenager, my parents and I and family went to the beach. On the way back, my girlfriend and I were in the back of the van, and my parents were up in the front seat, and we had other friends up in front of us, and we ended up having sex in the back seat on the way back at night.
Third row? Wow.
Wait. You didn't get caught?
Nothing got caught.
No, it did not get caught at all.
Well, wow. Hold on.
What?
What happens at the end?
Hold on. I got well, that's my story without getting caught. Well, I caught my own son. He came back from high school graduation party one night, and I heard him come home, but I didn't know his girlfriend came home with him. And I went in the next morning about 11 o'clock and all this. Hey, man, we got stuff to go to. Let's go rolling.
Right.
So I went up into his room and all that, and his girlfriend was giving him a favor.
Oh man.
was a little party. Were you a little bit proud, a little bit? Yeah. A little party?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Lay it on the high.
Walking in on the sexual activity. It seems like a lot of people, these are younger people that were walked in on. And we've had a bunch of people holding for a while. Let's go to Gus on line 3. What's up, Gus? You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Gus?
I'm all right. When I was younger, I was a little bit younger, you know, me and my girl. She lived with her grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
And, we're upstairs. She was on top of me. She had this, like, gray skirt on. Mm-hmm. And, her grandmother came upstairs. She was like a super ninja. She couldn't hear nothing. And all we hear is, what are you doing? Like, oh. My girl looked her dead in her face and said, he's cracking my back, Grandma.
He's cracking my back.
And that was it?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
She believed it?
She turned around and went back downstairs.
No way! Dude, that's the key. That's key when they live with the grandma.
That's clutch for her to think of something. Yeah,
a girl growing up that live with grandma. Because grandma, you know, they're They're too old. They don't know. They can't.
They can't? They can't see?
Well, they can see, but they're just like, they're so easy to dupe. You know what I mean? They're so easily fooled. Let's go to line one. We have Rob. What's up, Rob?
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Josh.
Morning.
So, I wasn't necessarily walking in, but I found out younger, like end of high school, that my mom had a baby monitor in the basement where my girlfriends and I would hang out. So it came out later during just a funny family conversation that happened. So, and my mom and I like locked eyes, and it was 3 seconds of horror where I realized and had flashbacks of my life of everything that must have gone down.
Yeah. All those things, all those nasty things you didn't. So she was spying on you the whole time. When you were down there, each and every time she had she was just listening in on you.
Yep. Had to check the house for bugs after that.
Whoa. And what are some of the worst things she's heard? Just,
yeah, what entered your head when you found that out?
The good favor.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your mom has heard your
closing move, your finishing move.
She's heard that. She's heard what you sound like. Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, right. What's the point of the monitor,
Rob,
if she didn't do anything about it?
She's not running downstairs to stop it.
Yeah, she just wanted
to
hear it.
She was just listening. Let's go to Bill in Baltimore on line five. What's up, Bill? You're on the air.
What's going on, guys?
What is
it? So, when I got out of high school, I went to the Navy. Mm-hmm. And I came home from my first leave.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend, when her mother would get up in the morning and leave for work, I would come rolling in afterwards. So while I'm home, some incidents happen. I break my leg, and I got a cast on my right leg from my thigh down.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother leaves for work one morning.
Mm-hmm.
I go rolling in, pull in the driveway, crawl in her bed.
You guys had it like clockwork, too. You do the exact
like
moment.
Like clockwork, man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Every morning.
Yep.
And I was home for 3 weeks before I had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother comes rolling in. She forgot her purse.
Oh.
My mother comes rolling in. We don't hear a thing.
Wow.
We're getting busy in the bedroom. Next thing I know, the door opens.
Uh-huh.
I hop up. I'm standing on one leg, hobbling, trying to grab my pants, put them back on.
Butt-ass naked?
I was just standing butt-ass naked.
Oh,
did she see your thing?
Oh, yeah, did she see your penis?
Yep.
Oh, man, you couldn't even turn around? Jeez.
Her mother's just standing there at the door giving me the death stare, and then she just pulls the door shut and leaves.
That's it?
That's it.
See,
never said a word about it.
How old were you guys?
I was 19. She was 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
I mean, it sucks,
it's tough,
but
right?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do as a parent? You know what I mean? Like, if the kid's grown, you can't. I mean, I don't know. It's just
better the mom than the dad, though, right?
Well, that's what I mean.
Dad's
if you're the
swinging.
Dad, you come in, and
yeah,
there's a guy crawling all over
break
your
other leg.
Oh, my God. Let's go to line two. We got John in Bel Air. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah.
Good, good. All right. So my story is I got walked in on. We were, I was young, 16. She was 16 years old, too. I guess we just came home from school one day. Mom was at work, usually later on in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, she came home early. We're getting busy. We're getting loud and everything. So we didn't even hear her come in.
Oof.
I guess she, like, ninja'd down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
She gets downstairs and snuck up on us and rips my girlfriend at the time, off of me.
Oh, man.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Grabbed her and yanked her off.
Yep, we're both butt naked. She starts screaming at her. She's calling her a whore.
Whoa,
my daughter's not going to be a
what?
Whore.
Wait, this is your mom and...
No, her mom, her mom.
Her mom is calling her daughter, her own daughter, a whore?
Yeah, she was like, they're real religious, I guess. And she's getting married.
Oh.
So I guess she would have had to come under each arm to take her off, right? She's not wearing any clothes, right?
Yeah, from behind. Like,
yeah.
From behind. Just pick the arms up.
And what happened to you?
Man,
she
was,
beat your ass on the way out the door?
Oh, she was throwing everything she could. I'm butt naked, trying to get clothes on, walking out, trying to get out of the door, you know.
dodging things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, later on it didn't stop. So she would still, the girl would time it where her mom wouldn't be home, but she wanted to get revenge on it, I guess. And
she would always be like, let's have sex in my parents' bed now.
What?
All the time.
See, I would have never gone back.
I was going to say you never stepped foot in that house again, but you upped the ante. You were banging in the parents' bed after that.
Yeah.
You guys call her on speakerphone?
Hey, guess what I'm doing?
What's the matter with you?
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Happy Saturday morning. Justin Scott and Spiegel Behind the Curtain. Justin, not here. He earlier gave birth in the bathroom, then he was pleasuring himself in the car, and now I think he's making a run to Burger King. Get himself some of those French toast sticks. And coming up, you're going to hear us talk about tax fraud. Joe Robinson was in here, and he went to file his taxes, and they wrote him back. They're like, hey, you can't file your taxes because somebody already filed your taxes. And he's like, what? Somebody had all of his information, plugged it all in, filed his taxes, and got like $3,000 back. That's terrifying.
Yeah. I'm surprised he was handling it so well, because I would be out of my mind ripping hair out.
Yeah, but why? There's nothing you can... That's the point. It's like, what can you do?
Well, just knowing what I have to go through to fix this. Because you know it's just such a BS hassle to get all the proper paperwork in place and then prove... I don't know what it entails, but I'm sure it's awful.
I think that's what he says coming up. You'll hear him. It's like not even so much that it happened. It's just like knowing what a pain in the ass it's going to be to rectify it or undo it or whatever the hell it is, which everything is just, even around here, things have gotten so, not even taxes, not even anything heavy like that, just the everyday happenings around here, like you with like interns now.
Yeah.
When I was a producer, I'd just be like, hey, you want to be an intern? They'd be like, yep. I'd be like, all right, show up Monday. You'll be here a couple days a week and just hang out and we'll get you some hours. All right, cool.
Yeah. You have to jump through 30 hoops.
Oh, I mean, it's a whole rigmarole.
They're practically employees. They even have to get logins now for computers. Like, you can't just log in under a generic login. It has to be under your name. Like, so I guess they can track anything anybody does on any computer.
Dude. Yeah, the deep state.
Deep state rigmarole.
Well, Speaks, how did your taxes go this year? Do you do them right off the jump?
They're fine. I mean, I have an accountant because I don't really do well with math.
Do you meet with him monthly to go over your investments?
No, he's got that box of receipts that he keeps from the whole year. And he writes off everything because he's a genius.
I mean, at the end of the year, it's
the smartest thing you can do.
Write off your cable, too?
Yeah, hell yeah, you can write all that off. Cable, you can write off internet, you can write off Easy Pass, stereo equipment. If you buy stereo equipment, it's all part of our job.
Oh, it's all there. It's all there.
Yep. Union dues.
My goodness.
Condoms. It's all part of the job.
Food? It's damn near everything.
Here it is, Joe Robinson talking about tax fraud Behind the Curtain, 98 Rock. Now, Joe, you were telling us a story off the air, which, I don't know, I guess we'll get into it, but for me, seemed rather alarming.
Yeah, so have you guys done your taxes yet?
Did my taxes, got my money.
Okay.
Good to go.
It's none of your damn business, Joe. Why don't you mind your own business?
So, sorry, Josh. So, I have an accountant, not because I make a lot of money, but because I have 50 things that I do, including, you know, being on the air here and the murder mystery and all these other things that I do. So, my taxes are complicated.
You don't want that IRS coming after you.
Right. So, my accountant goes to e-file, and he can't because I guess it's, you know, someone in Russia or whatever is already...
Well, easy. Don't jump over the lead here. So you go...
Yeah, sorry.
You give all the stuff to the guy, and that's what it is. He takes care of everything.
That's right. I'm done.
Here's all my paperwork. If you need anything, call me, but this is... You're doing
See
it.
See you next year.
How much does he charge you?
$350.
Oh, my God.
Is that a lot?
I think so.
It is?
I don't know, but this guy's
He's a childhood friend, too.
Damn. So then what happens? You get a phone
Rainwater call? Rainwater CPA. That's where I'm getting ripped off, by the way.
You get a phone call from him?
No. Actually, I got a letter from the IRS that happened the day he filed.
Okay. Here we go.
And it said, thank you for submitting your... I go, wow, these guys are quick. The same day. Right. So clearly...
So it's a thank you letter.
It's not even possible. But really, I mean, the IRS is probably like everybody's doing this. So this is our way to guard against it. Letting people know, oh, we have your return. So,
you got a thank you letter the day he submitted it. So you're like, wait a minute, how the hell did this letter end up at my house when he just filed today?
Correct.
So a red flag goes off in your head?
Immediately. And me email him. And I'm like, hey, bad news.
Well, hold on, because you're jumping. You already know what happened. The people out there
I understand that, but letter.
You're saying bad, but you go, hey, don't you say, hey, this is odd. Why did I get a letter saying that thank you for filing when you just filed?
I didn't. Immediately when I got that letter, I knew what had happened.
And but do you ever get a letter from
the... I don't think
you get a letter. You're not supposed to get a letter.
I probably got it because they were skeptical of the nature of the return. I'm imagining they have some sort of flag in place that if it looks this way, and by the way, they should. I mean, think about this.
Well, we're jumping ahead because we haven't even said what happened. So you immediately, you think you know what happened?
Yes.
Immediately.
I think that somebody filed under my social security number.
Oh, God.
So you immediately think that. See, I don't know if I would have thought that. I would have just been like, this is weird. Did you call him and he investigated? How did you get to the point where you actually found out what happened?
First thing I did, as soon as I found out, I sent him an email immediately.
Yes.
With a picture of the letter.
Okay, good.
Hey, I got this. It's not humanly possible. It's dated. This letter that I received today is dated prior to the day that you submitted my tax return.
Yeah.
So immediately came back and said, yeah, I tried to e-file. It was rejected. They said somebody already did.
So somebody already filed taxes with your name and information, including but not limited to social security number?
They got my social security number. Clearly my name. But, you know, I believe that information isn't difficult to get. Unfortunately, it should be.
But isn't it? I understand that, but isn't it alarming that somebody has it and is using it for nefarious reasons?
Of course. Yeah, of course it is. And when I called the state of Maryland, I found out how much this person got back, and I was very jealous.
So this person already got money.
Oh, they already have been paid. Oh, no.
So this is tax fraud. Somebody used your information for tax fraud.
Let me say, I don't know that they got paid. I do know that the guy told me the amount that they got. And I was like, wow. That guy got back $3,900.
Oh, my God.
That's not what I got back. I didn't get back anywhere near that.
Yeah.
So I was, like, jealous of him, his return or hers.
So when you're talking to whoever you got to talk to over there.
Rainwater CPA. Shout out.
Well, do you go up higher than him, though? Aren't you talking to people at the tax, the IRS or whoever?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, when I call him, he goes, oh, here's what you need to do. And it's all on me. I have to do everything.
Yeah, of course.
And it's stressful. Here's what I have to do. So I had to call the state of Maryland.
Right.
Tell them what happened.
Now, are they like, oh, my God? Or are they just like,
They're like, this is every other person this is happening to. Yeah.
Right.
So they're like, here's what you do. You mail your return along with a identity fraud affidavit. Now, this is not some form that uses some obscure form. It's a form that everybody's filling it out because just rampant. You know who else got their tax return filed under somebody else, filed under their Social Security number? Katie, my girlfriend.
So happened to her too.
In our house, yes.
What?
Everyone that lives in our house has been defrauded. But you send it in to the state of Maryland, and you call the state of Maryland, you send in to the federal government, the IRS, your return with this affidavit. They then send you a letter saying we acknowledge this, that we received this.
Right.
And then you have to file your Maryland return with this letter. Now,
you get the letter back, you mail everything in with the letter.
Funny, Josh just said, the first thing that I thought about wasn't, oh my God, I'm so betrayed. It was like, God, what a
pain
hassle,
in the ass.
Right?
What a pain in the ass.
In the ass is going to be.
Now, yeah, I mean, because you said you have a million things to do. That's why you use an accountant. Right? Not a whole thing blew up in your face.
It's everything I don't want to be doing at this time of the year. Now, now I'm doing it. But here's what's terrifying. You know who files taxes? Every American who's earning, right? So hundreds of millions of people are sending these in. So these guys they're busy. And they're busy basically 1 month of the year where everybody's scrambling to get their return in. So this letter that I need to get in order to file my Maryland return, I don't have it. It doesn't exist. They didn't send it to me. Like, oh, my God, this guy's been defrauded. We need to rectify. No, they have probably 100 million people that this has happened
to. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. But obviously, they need to put safeguards in place. And what I was going to say is, you think about Like, you and I will be talking about Five Guys. The next thing you know, I look on my phone and I have a coupon for a, you know, a double. So why can't the IRS just say, all right, if we see an address doesn't match, there's three flags you put in place and then we don't process this return. It seems like it would be so simple.
It seems that way.
Is your employer different? Is your address different? You know.
So what happens on the tail end of this? It's kind of like, because I've had my bank account compromised a few times mm-hmm. where, and I think you were in here one time where I was just getting, I was getting $200 charges to my bank account. Because I was, every Friday I would take out like $200. I would pay for whatever, like groceries or babysitter and then right. have some money for the weekend. So it was a charge that I was appearing on my bank statement pretty much weekly. So they saw that, whoever saw that.
They were smart.
They were smart and they started taking out that amount and thinking I wouldn't notice it. And Bank of America has that whatever, they just go
fraud okay, protection.
Fraud protection. Yeah. They go okay, just tell us what it is, and we'll give you your money back. Bing. And it's pretty. Is it that easy?
No, it's not resolved.
So it's still not even resolved.
Here's the thing. Just like Josh said, he's so right.
But is there anything you need to be worried? You don't need to be worried
know.
About.
I don't know
you
the don't answer know. To that. Right. So as soon as it happened, I'm not like I don't feel betrayed. I immediately think, God, what a pain in the ass! Right. This amount of work that I now have to do. But it's not resolved, yeah. meaning the letter that I'm supposed to get that allows me to file my Maryland return, it doesn't exist. They haven't said to me, oh, okay, we see this happen to you. That hasn't happened.
So you haven't even got that letter yet.
And you know how long it took after I found out? You know how long it took me to send the IRS notice of it? One day.
Yeah, I immediately
let
them
know.
You're one person, right.
So I let them know immediately, and that was back, you know, I think it was March 26th or something like that. So I want this letter, so I have something in my hand that said, okay, we know this happened to you. This doesn't exist. I don't have
it. Not yet.
Well, now I'm stressed because, you know, today's the 9th. Your taxes have to be in.
Aren't you a special case now? They're not holding you to the 15th, are they?
I have no idea. Well, whatever actually, they're holding me to nothing because they have my return.
This is actually the 17th this
the
17th. Year. But I think somebody getting your return is the least of your problems. They've got your social security
number. That's what I'm
number.
Saying. Aren't you worried about that?
They can create a whole identity with
so,
that.
So here's what I think happens with those things, though, right? So I was thinking Josh. About that, but I think they have so many people's information.
Yeah,
that
just they, one of.
But that, yeah, they burn yours. They do what they got to do with it, and then they're just ripping through. They just keep moving on. You know what I mean? I don't think these people are going to become you and use your information to buy a house and then, you know, and steal your identity. I think they just get this info. It's numbers on a computer. They plug it in. They get the money, and they just there's. It's like when they steal tens of millions of email addresses and all these, you know, these hacks.
I'd rather have my email. But what Josh says, okay, I hear what you're saying. Well, what do I do?
Exactly.
You have to call the White House immediately.
That was the same thing I asked when my Bank of America got hacked. I go, my info is out there. They have it. Somebody has it. Who knows how many people have it? Who knows what they're going to use it for? Who knows how long they're going to use it? And I go, what do I do? What do you do? Nothing. I don't know what to do. I'm just a guy. They got my info.
They don't let you change your social security number.
I can't go physically. I can't physically go find somebody and grab them and go, stop. Hey, give me my info back. It's like, no, it's out there.
No, you what you do? I think you call the credit agencies. And they can do something.
That's a hassle.
I know.
I'm doing it, but okay. Yeah. I mean, okay. Who? What's a credit agency? Who do I call? Equifax.
Yeah, Equifax, Experian, something else. I think there are three.
We should be able to get a new social. Well, that would probably screw things up.
Everybody, yes.
Yeah, there's only so many numbers. Mike. Number.
Well, good luck. Good luck with all that.
Thanks, man.